always go back to while not losing sight of that human element. Because TA is probably one of the most exciting spaces where technology is involved. I mean, our TA technology now acts as part of our org charts. You know, I mean, they're just critical in our processes and handoffs. But still, what makes our function sing is the caliber of our recruiters.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with Asil Omar. Asil is the Chief Equity Officer and VP of Talent Acquisition at AbbVie. Asil, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Great to be here, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about our conversation. Let's start out. If you wouldn't mind and provide just a little background for the audience, we'll usually get into how you started in the talent space, maybe some roles that you've held leading up to your current role at AbbVie.
Yeah, thanks for that, Ryan. And I'm very familiar with your podcast. I've listened to many of them, particularly when I took on my most recent role in talent acquisition. But let me play back the tape, if you will, in terms of how I got here. And maybe I'll start with where my journey started. And it, like many of us, it didn't start in talent acquisition. So I've always, I think from a very early age, developed a passion for the space of education, an interest and a passion. I myself attended many schools before graduating high school, many different systems, English, British, French, American, Canadian. And so I developed a real appreciation for the power of education and teaching on just one's self and career. And I toyed with becoming a teacher, but I knew I wanted more. So I pursued a master's in education and curriculum design from the University of Toronto. And then did my thesis of an Arab Open University in Kuwait. It's where I grew up predominantly. And so I went there to pursue a career in the not-for-profit sector and quickly discovered the world of corporate learning. And at the time, joined a tremendous organization. They were a multi-billion dollar startup. They're called Agility Logistics. And so I joined at the point where they were growing from 2,000 to over 20,000 employees through mergers and acquisitions of companies worldwide. So here we were, a company based in Kuwait, buying companies in the US, Asia, Europe. And we just ballooned very quickly. And again, the CEO wanted top-tier organization, top-tier culture, top-tier HR. So I joined to build out a corporate university and quickly found myself then doing leadership development, quickly found myself doing talent management, performance management, and really learning from the best. They sent me off to the US to look at organizations, learning organizations, to learn from them. And it was just a tremendous learning opportunity. They then moved me out to Hong Kong. So I spent a few years working for them in Hong Kong, doing leadership development and some integration work. And in that process, worked with a phenomenal mentor of mine. He changed the trajectory of my career in life. He made an introduction. I always knew as we did the best practice tours that I wanted to join a leading organization in the space of HR and talent. And he made an introduction to now, again, another mentor of mine, the chief learning officer at Unilever. I moved to Singapore for that role. So I went from Hong Kong to Singapore to build a state-of-the-art leadership development center. It was called 4 Acres in Singapore, just a tremendous opportunity. And that's where I joined AbbVie, where I am today. And I think, Ryan, that's where the pivot point, I always knew I enjoyed the space of talent and I would always grow within that sphere of talent, L&D, careers, succession planning, performance. And I think joining AbbVie, I joined for learning and development and talent management. And we were really building at that point, AbbVie was a spinoff of Abbott. It was a year out and we were building a culture and a company that was uniquely ours. And so I joined the JPAC operation to land this culture, talent processes, performance processes. And about 18 months in, there was a vacancy in talent acquisition. And to my surprise, I'd never done talent acquisition, never done recruitment. And I'll speed through these. I've been with AbbVie for 11 years, and I think I've done 10 roles, so I won't list them all. But there was a series of talent management roles, a BHR, HR generalist, business partner role, an HR technology role, which I absolutely loved, leading HR technology, workforce planning, and data and analytics. And that was really the precedent. That was my first vice president position. And it was shortly after that role. And so maybe there was something around the technology piece. They asked me again to come in to TA. This was 2 years ago, essentially to transform our talent acquisition capability globally, which has been a phenomenal journey. A year into that transformation, they asked me to lead the chief equity office, which is what I'm doing today. But that's my journey, long story short.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Excellent job and an amazing journey. So thank you for sharing all of that. Really appreciate you getting into that level of detail. If you wouldn't mind for the audience, share a little bit about AbbVie and just maybe the size and scope, size of the organization, size of the talent acquisition function specifically, maybe number of hires, just some size and scope so the listening audience can understand a little bit about what AbbVie does and the scope of the delivery model.
So AbbVie is a biopharma organization with a broad cross-section of therapeutic areas, largely focused on patients with very high unmet needs across the area of oncology, immunology, neuroscience, eye care, and then from 2020, aesthetics as well with the acquisition of Allergan in 2020. In terms of size of organization, we're approximately 54,000 and counting globally. And then, of course, our distribution of our workforce are split amongst R&D, very strong base in research and development, commercial organization, so think sales, marketing, payer access, et cetera, operations, manufacturing, supply chain, and then corporate staff, HR, finance, technology, and the like. And then we are essentially, we've got US-based roles and then international. And international has sub-regions, the classics, if you will. And so my organization in TA mirrors both our functions. So we have functionally aligned talent acquisition teams and organizations, as well as a market-aligned recruiting team and organizations.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Maybe let's get into that a little bit. Next phase of questions that we usually get into is maybe some initiatives or accomplishments that you're particularly proud of over the last couple of years. Sounds like this transformation has been a significant focus of you and your team. So maybe share whatever you're comfortable with around the nature of that transformation and some of the successes that you've seen.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite stories of my career or experiences, humbling, certainly, from a leadership perspective. But Ryan, I took the role 2 years ago. So we're now 2 years into this transformation journey. And, you know, I came in, it was 2022, and I really had come in on the tail end of what I referred to at the time of the perfect storm. If you'll imagine 2020 to 2022 for our organization, it's a positive story, but very difficult from a talent acquisition perspective, in that as a company, all of us went into the pandemic in 2020. So we're trying to figure out remote working, hiring, interviews, all that fun stuff, which we all share in terms of how we responded in that moment. At AbbVie, that was compounded with, we closed a big acquisition of Allergan. We were about 25,000 employees at the time. Allergan was also 25,000 employees. So this wasn't a small acquisition. It was a notable acquisition. And it was a stellar integration process. But imagine that during COVID. And on top of that, our growth trajectory and hiring was just skyrocketing. Again, all good problems to have. But as you can imagine from a TA perspective, here we were trying to figure out how to integrate the infrastructure and the recruiting capability of Allergan into AbbVie. And so really what I did, the first thing I did is I set up a transformation office and brought on someone internally who was powerhouse at transformation and org design. And so that was the first thing that I did is, all right. And he did not have talent acquisition experience, which I thought was a positive. He had business experience and other parts he was familiar with AbbVie. And so we quickly got to work around what's the operating model that we need. And we determined that we needed to change our op model. What was our staffing of that op model? Did we have the right people in the right places? And we quickly got to work in assessing that. We looked at our process design and documentation. Did our recruiters know how to recruit at AbbVie, or did they bring in with them whatever they did in previous organizations and figured out how it worked here? So what was the caliber of our onboarding and process orientation and discipline? And then last but certainly not least, our technology. We had a loosely stitched together fabric of technologies. And is that what we needed? Were we modernized enough? And were we strong enough from a technology perspective? And so we went after those in a almost sequential way. First, we said, what's our operating model? We quickly determined what that change is. Then we looked at staffing and we took our change management approach very seriously. Then we did process design. And the last step was the technology. And we were very clear that we wanted to build that credibility with the business first and not rely on the technology to do that. So that the technology, one, we had that credibility for the business to bear with us as we did a massive technology change, and that we got that credibility and that foundation, irrespective of the technology, that the technology was going to be complementary, not the solution. And yeah, I can share more about what those changes were that we made.
Yeah, I would love that. And first, I would like to say congratulations and kudos to you and your team for understanding the importance of kind of laying that strong operational foundation in place. All too often, we see TA leaders get distracted by shiny objects and noise in the market or marketing or experts saying you need to do this massive, large-scale change agenda, but they get out ahead of themselves and they don't lay the appropriate operational foundation in place, and everything crumbles on top of it. And unfortunately, it's usually the TA people that are accountable. So kudos to you and your team for recognizing that, laying the strong foundation to build off of, and it's probably contributed to the success that you've had. And yeah, I would love for you to share whatever you're comfortable sharing on it.
Yeah, happy to. And we were tempted. The shiny technologies definitely look and feel like they'll solve everything for us. But thanks for that recognition, Ryan. I would say we'll start off with the operating model, because I think that was the one of our biggest, I would say the operating model and then the morale and culture of our organization were our two, I say no matter what around that, those were our two success stories. And technology is a success story, but what I'm truly proud of is the team and the op model. From an operating model perspective, we set our design criteria and we were very clear. Proximity to the business and business alignment was paramount. Letting recruiters recruit was paramount. I had come in and said, it's got to be the year of the recruiter. The recruiters were just doing way too much and not focused enough on recruiting. And then focusing on innovation of our capabilities. And so how did those three translate to org changes? So when I came in, we had our recruiters, our recruiting teams. We had a sourcing team. We had a team of coordinators separate, you know, as its own COE that was being deployed as needed. We had university recruitment. We had diversity recruitment. So we had this series of COEs, and then we had the recruiting teams. And I could see this working in other contexts where you're really building the discipline and the expertise and then deploying them through the recruiting teams or as needed. But we found that created a lot of noise in the system in terms of coordination, who's on first. And it just created complexity that we didn't need. So the first thing we did was we brought in a lot of that COE capability within the recruiting team under the regional and the functional leadership so that it could be more coordinated and focused on the business. And so that was a big game changer for us. We also created a differentiated approach to our recruitment team. So we had our leadership recruiters that were really more high touch, lower rec volume, because they're taking care of harder to fill roles, more senior leaders that were looking for more strategic partnership in search, et cetera. Then we had the professional recruiting teams, you know, more volume, just hiring managers just wanted to open the rec and keep moving. It's a very different kind of recruiter. It's a very different kind of discipline and approach. And so we built leadership teams, professional recruitment teams, and then separated out an executive search group to really take care of just that VP and above searches across all of our functions. And again, that differentiated approach went a long way. And then now for our international markets, who are perhaps not staffed or resourced to the same extent as where we've got more centers of gravity here in the US, where there's enough volume to staff up with sourcing, executive search, all the bells and whistles, we are looking at different staff augmentation models on how we partner with RPOs selectively as we try to dial up and dial down project recruitment, et cetera. So now that's the next phase, is how we build out our international capability.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that level of detail. One question that comes to mind that the audience is always curious about, as am I, is coming out of this transformation and with this delivery model now in place, how do you and your team think about performance? So how does your organization define success as it relates to talent acquisition, or how do you measure performance as it relates to talent acquisition?
Certainly, we've got our classic metrics. And what do we over-index on? So we've got our classics in terms of what we over-index on is certainly hiring manager satisfaction. Because if there is one data point that tells me we're doing this right, is that the hiring managers are telling us that they're pleased with our sourcing capability, with our intakes, with the whole process. And then, of course, word of mouth goes a long way as well. I place high value on what our leaders tell me or tell us. And then, of course, every month we have our data and metrics, if you will. What's open, how long it's been opened. We look at what our data and analytics team calls survival rate of new hires. So what's our survival rate or retention rate of new hires at the one month point, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, just to tell us on, is it working? Are we seeing anything? We look at performance data a year and 18 months out of hire. So we've got a good breadth of KPIs. And then we've got slating KPIs as well that we deliver quarterly. But for me, the most important metric is definitely hiring manager feedback and business leader feedback. And now we're trying to figure out how to effectively get candidate feedback beyond as soon as they join. But that's our next metric that we're trying to wrap our arms around, especially now that we've got our new technology in place.
Yeah, that's great. Let's shift focus a little bit on the future. Obviously, some changes for you personally, as well as for the organization going forward, focusing on some new initiatives. Share whatever you're comfortable with around what you're seeing in the future and maybe a couple initiatives that are coming to the surface is critical for you.
Yeah. I mentioned technology, but maybe didn't share. So this year, if you think about 2023 was all about op model, morale, culture of our team, of our recruiters. This year, 2024, we implemented whole scale, a new ATS and other new technology elements. And we literally had a day one globally, all functions, all affiliates, all markets. And it was just a seamless implementation, thanks to the great team that we have. But now that we've got the technology in place, we're now thinking about user experience. There's a lot of AI capability that's coming with that technology. How do we think about that? And how does it integrate with the other AI or technology platforms within HR? You know, I think one initiative now that the technology is in place, how do we make sure that we modernize with it and make the most of it? But Ryan, I always go back to while not losing sight of that human element. Because, you know, TA is probably one of the most exciting spaces where technology is involved. I mean, our TA technology now acts as part of our org charts. You know, I mean, they're just critical in our processes and handoffs. But still, what makes our function sing is the caliber of our recruiters. So I would say that continues to be a key focus, is how do we develop, nurture the human element as we build out that technology. So I think that balance is a key area. The other area is our internal labor market. How do we leverage this technology? Because it engages our external marketplace in very sophisticated ways in terms of how you can push out campaigns, how you engage talent. How do we think about those capabilities when it comes to our internal market? We're 54,000 strong and growing. How do we make sure that we are thinking about the internal labor market, but respecting our talent management principles and the like? So that's another one that we're thinking hard about and are mobilizing around figuring out. And then, of course, the third one is, how do we get better at the whole multi-channel? How do we get better at finding, engaging, and attracting talent from channels that we typically don't engage in heavily or don't have a strong history? What's the formula there? Yeah,
those are three great initiatives. And I appreciate the things that you're talking about there. We obviously focus most of our attention on helping TA leaders get their tech stack right. And I think that you're absolutely right. The highest performing organizations are looking at technology in a way that is, how does it help my team operate better, increase performance, be more strategic, add more value? Can the tech enable a higher value interaction for the humans on my team? And the right tech stack designed right actually enhances that experience, doesn't replace it, but elevates that strategic value for the organization. It's easy to say, easy to talk about. All of us who have been through the RFPs and all the things it takes to get to that end game, it's very difficult to get right in design, integration, workflow, all of those things. And it definitely is a journey to get that tech stack right. But when done right, the human element and the strategic value of those on your team elevates significantly multiples, and the output does as well. And it can also bolster your capabilities internally. You should have very similar or at least high value experiences, both externally and internally, that are seamless in the align with what your desired outcomes would be. So yeah, those are great, great initiatives, a lot of growth and opportunity in all of those. Appreciate you sharing those for sure. Anything else you would like to share before we move on to any recommendations or guidance you would have for those in the audience?
No, I think Ryan, I couldn't agree more. I think our biggest learning was that, again, what you said is that the technology is meant to add value and make the human elements even better. And I can't underscore that enough.
The last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would share for those in our audience? The audience is mainly made up of those in talent acquisition or interested in talent acquisition. You've had a really diverse background, both in experience and locations and all sorts of really amazing experiences there. So what's some advice that maybe you share with your team or you share with others that are coming into the talent space?
I definitely know I don't have an orthodox career path, if you will, but I think perhaps I would lead with that is that sometimes the development opportunities are not the obvious ones. I think we come from an age where career paths were more linear. There was a natural progression or more traditional career paths. And so one career advice is to stay open and to say yes to the less orthodox career opportunities, whether they mean moving across boundaries geographically or across boundaries, functional focus, recruitment focus, or even across the HR, outside HR, that zigzagging is definitely a strength builder. And you know you're growing when you're uncomfortable. So seek the discomfort, or at least don't say no. Would be one. And then probably if I was dating myself back to the 10 years, I mentioned some mentors, just the power of networking and the power of the role models I mentioned, I thought I could never have access to. What's a girl in Kuwait, you know, to a chief learning officer in one of the biggest companies in the world, would be surprised by reaching out and building a connection and seeking a network. So I would just say, just to get out there and to take a chance, whether it's an experience or a network or networking.
Yeah, I think those are both great pieces of advice. Putting yourself out in some instances that make you a little uncomfortable is where the growth happens, and as well as reaching out to someone from a mentor or somebody that you can learn from and the impact that can have on your career. I think those are great pieces of advice. Yeah. Asil, I really appreciate you joining me today. I think you did an excellent job and I appreciate you sharing all of this with the audience. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan. It was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.